You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
May God bless you richly in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I welcome you to our presentation of Follow His Sandals. As this is a Christian radio station, perhaps it goes without saying whose sandals we are endeavoring to follow more closely, but that would be those of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. As I have often said, the last perfect guy blew out of here almost 2,000 years ago. This show is about our working together in the Bible to help each of us more closely follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get started. Well, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Reverend Dave Boston with you here from sunny South Florida. Certainly blessed to be here with you. I've been thinking a lot, you know, listening to past broadcasts, and we talk about, you know, reading the Bible, and I've been very insistent on that we all should read the book, right? Read the Bible. And, you know, it's great. You go to a church, you're there with your pastor for an hour or two maybe, but then you're home for the other 6.5 days of the week, right? And I thought, you know, we want to be in touch with God all the time. And one of the verses that always comes to my mind with that is in 2 Timothy. So let's take a look, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And what I want to talk about today is why. Why do we want to read the Bible? What's so important about it that we want to do that? Why is it important? We're going to look at that a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll pick it up in verse 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. A Greek translation that is God-breathed. God-breathed. It's for His soul. And it's profitable. The Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, instruction in righteousness is made up of doctrine, knowing what's right, and then reproof when you're not doing it right, and then correction when you need to be brought back to what's believing right, see? So all of these make up instruction in righteousness. And isn't that what we want to be, especially if we're going to follow our Lord Jesus Christ? If we want to follow His sandals, what do we have to do? We have to be instructed in righteousness. And it's not a one-time thing where it happens when you're 10 years old and you don't need to worry about it again. You know, I'm constantly learning, constantly, you know, remembering things that we need to know. And it's just critically important that we continue to look at God's Word. But look at verse 17, too. So this Bible is instruction in righteousness, right? But look at verse 17. Here's why God had it written. You know, He didn't do it for the royalties, right? Here's the reason, that the man of God, right, the man or woman who stands for God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yeah, see, the Bible was written for you so that you could be the best you can be for our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? I mean, God could have let us just wander in the aimless in the desert, right? Just kind of wandering around trying to find Him. But what God did was very loving. He wrote the Scriptures, had the Scriptures written, right? He inspired them to be written down. And His purpose was that those of us who would read it and think about it and work it in our minds, we could be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We all want to serve God, right? You want God to be pleased with you? Well, you got to know what to do then, don't you? You got to know what that's going to entail. Look at 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter. One more on this one. 2 Peter, please. And this is in chapter 1. Again, just a great section about God's Word here. We'll pick it up in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, verse 2. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you while you're sleeping. No. Grace and peace be multiplied to you when? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, if the Bible is the knowledge of God, right, if it's God's heart to us, it's what He wants us to know, look what happens when we read it. We get better at it. It says grace and peace are multiplied to us. Multiplied to us. Why is that? Well, because when you understand God's Word, you understand life. God is the author of life. I mean, sorry for you atheists who don't believe in God, but He did. He authored life. So consequently, He knows how to live it and operate it correctly, like any inventor would. If you invented a machine that you invented, you'd know best how to use it, right? Well, God invented life that way. And the Bible is the instruction manual on how to live life correctly. Now, can you survive without knowing God? Well, you can live, whether you can survive, right? But you won't live life to the fullest, and that's the point. God wants you to have life to the fullest. Look at verse 2 again. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 3. As his divine power has given to us, look at this, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Where? Through the cartoons? No. Through the newspapers? Nope. Through what? The knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You see, his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Again, through what? The knowledge of him. Well, where's the knowledge of God? Well, the only accurate knowledge of God is what he authored. Remember, we saw back in 2 Timothy, God authored the scriptures that we would know him, that we could know, we could have everything we need to live life correctly. Look at verse 4, please. Verse 4, talking about this knowledge of God, verse 4 says, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, God has given promises in his word. God has promised us things, and if we read God's word, we can find out about it, we can know what he wants, and it can be great for us to live life correctly. I was thinking about, look at Psalm 37 for a second. Psalm 37. There's a whole lot of these ones, but we'll start in Psalm 37. But one of the reasons we want to understand God's word and read God's word is so we can know his heart. You know, you think about you ever heard people say, well, trust God. Oh, you got to trust God, right? Oh, just trust God. Okay, fine. Well, when do you trust somebody? How and when do you trust somebody? Do you just trust any stranger off the street? Someone says, hey, give me a buck and I'll give you $1 million. Oh, okay, here you go. Right? No. You don't just trust people because they want you to trust them. You trust people when they've earned it, haven't they? Right? And usually a couple of things with that. Number one is they tell you what they're doing. Number two, you see their heart behind what they're doing. Like, why would you trust God unless you knew he was a good God, number one, and that he would be there for you when you need him? Look at Psalm 37. We'll pick it up right in verse 1. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So here's a promise God's made. Look, if you'll trust him, if you'll look to him, right, and commit your way to him and trust in him and do good, then he will give you the desires of your heart. But then look at verse 5 again. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You see, we trust in him. See? Now why? Why would you trust in God? Well, you have to know him first, wouldn't you? You have to know who God is and what he's like, right, of course. And then once you know who he is, then you'd listen to his word. Is he trustworthy? You don't just trust anybody who comes along and wants to be trusted, but you do trust those who are trustworthy. And trust me when I tell you there is no one more trustworthy than God Almighty. Let's see, take your Bibles, look at 1 John, please, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. We're coming back to Psalms, so don't go too far, but we're going to go to 1 John, please. 1 John, chapter 4. Just gives an idea of who God is. Why should we trust him? Well, look at chapter 4. And we'll pick it up in verse 8. It says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, interestingly, it doesn't say God is loving or that God loves, right? Both of which would be true. But it says God is love. And that's important if we're going to trust him, isn't it? It's important to know that he is love, which means he's all about loving you and doing for you what you need. He's love. Let's keep reading here. Look at verse 9, please. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So why did God send Jesus into the world? That we might live through him. That's the idea, right? In this is love, verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, Jesus, to be the propitiation or payment or offering for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Yeah, see, God is love, and God went first, right? God didn't wait for us to come along and say, hey, I want to be a Christian, so what can we do here? No, God loved us first. He sent Jesus for us, right? And it says in verse 10 again, in this is love. See, not that we loved God. We didn't love him first and he owed us something, right? No, God went first. He gave his son to be the propitiation or the payment, the sin offering for our sins. He was the offering for our sins. And of course, verse 11 makes a lot of sense. If, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also do what? Love one another. Yeah, of course, right? Jump down to verse 16. Verse 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. There it is again. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. You see, God is love. He's not sort of love. He's not loving. Like he has good days and bad days. Like he's good today, but tomorrow he could really get upset and have a hurricane destroy your house. No, that's not God. God is always loving and kind and always wants your best interest in mind. He always cares about what you want. Like it said in 2 Timothy, right, the man of God could be fully equipped, right, having everything be complete, fully equipped for every good work. God doesn't want us going through life haphazardly. He doesn't want us going through life in a big question mark. And he certainly doesn't want us to worry because we don't know anything about him. He wants us to know him and his heart for us. That's been, always been God's way. And how about God loving us again? How about chapter 3, since we're in the neighborhood? Since we're in the neighborhood. 1 John chapter 3. There are times in Scripture where God will say, you want to know how much I love you? Here it is. Here's how much I love you. And one of these verses is right here in 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 1. It says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. And what's coming here? God says, behold, you want to know what kind of love I have for you? Watch this, right? Behold, look at it. Take a look at it. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. What? He's going to give us pizza? Is that right? Sub sandwiches for lunch? No. Bigger than that. Even hard to believe, but it is. It's bigger than that. The Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Now, in your Greek texts, the most common Greek text is another phrase. It's been omitted here in King James and in New King James. But it says that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. That's the in the original Greek text of the Bible. That is what we are. In fact, if you check NIV or some of the other Greek texts, the English versions, they'll have that added in there. And look at verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Now, not next week, not when you die, now. Now we are the children of God. Now, when you realize that God loves you enough to make you his child, you realize that kind of love that he has for you is amazing, right? That kind of love he has for you is amazing. And that helps us trust him, doesn't it? That helps us know, you know, this God is worth trusting. He's worth serving and doing with. Let's go back to Psalms, please. Back to Psalms. Psalm 33 this time, since we're right in the neighborhood before. Psalm 33. There's so many great... Look at Psalm 33. Look at verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with the instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Why does God ask us to praise him, do you think? Is it because he needs someone to tell him how nice he is? God, you're really nice. Oh, thank you. No. God knows he's nice. He knows he's wonderful. He knows he's love, right? But he asks us to praise him so it takes our focus off ourselves. Not that that's ever a temptation, right? God wants to take our temptation, our focus off ourselves and onto him. So we praise him. We focus on all the good things he's done. Look at verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. Boom, there it is. The word of the Lord is right. You want to know what's right? The word of the Lord is. Now, if something says, well, I don't believe that. Okay, fine, you don't believe it. But the word of the Lord is right. God's word is correct. You know why? Because God authored it. That's why. You see why he wants us to read it and study so we see his heart. Verse 5, talking about God, it says, he loves righteousness and truth. I'm sorry, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Look down at verse 9. Or verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. Look at this. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Yeah, God didn't just make up this whole human existence, earth thing, right? That's not what happened. God had a plan and he's bringing it to pass. And one of the great things about that plan is that he had Jesus Christ, you know, born, live, die, right? And raise him from the dead. so that we could have life with him. But this is all God's plan. And when you get down to verse 12, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Yeah, you want God to be your Lord. You want God to be in charge. Why? Well, that's why we read the Bible. We read God's words. We can see his wonderful heart to us. Look at Psalm 34, please. Psalm 34. So many great verses here. We can't get to all of them. Well, we'll try. Psalm 34. I love Psalm 34. This is the Psalm of David, again, by revelation. God authored this. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Yeah, see, that's who God is. That's who he is. He's the kind of God who will deliver you from your fears. He's the kind of God that will be there for you. But you wouldn't know that if you didn't read the Bible, would you? I mean, maybe your pastor would hit that verse, but as you can see from your Bible, it's a good-sized book. Your pastor doesn't have time to teach the whole book every week, does he, right? Or even one section sometimes. But God's word is there for us. We can always look at it ourselves. We can read it ourselves. We can get excited about it and say, oh, this is what God says about us. Look at verse 4 again. I sought the Lord, and what? He forgot about me? No. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Yeah, God hears us. When you pray, God hears you. You know how big a deal that is? I know growing up, I was brought up in a major church, and I didn't know if God heard me when I prayed. I really didn't. I used to make bargains with God. You know, I'd lose something. I'd say, God, if you help me find it, I'll say 75 of these prayers or 20 of those prayers or something. And amazingly, sometimes God would help me find it. And then, of course, I'm stuck doing all these prayers. But it wasn't the right relationship I wanted to have with God. See, God's heart is that he wants us to have that, to know him, which, of course, we do that through his word. And then we can pray and we talk to God. We know what he wants because his word says so. He wrote it down. And look at verse 8, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Yeah, exactly. God says, look, taste and see. Try it. Try God out. See if I won't be there for you. See? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And I love that because it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, there's no question. God is really good. He really is. That's who he is. He's all good, all love. That's who he is. Now, the world sometimes will try to get us to think differently. Well, yeah, but if you sin, then God doesn't really care about you that much. Or, yeah, but you made a mistake over here. Well, the Bible's clear, too. The last perfect guy blew out of here a couple thousand years ago, right? The rest of us need help. The rest of us need forgiveness. The rest of us need God's grace and mercy, and thank God we have it. How do we know we have it? Guess, it's in the Bible, right? It's in the Bible, which is why I keep saying let's read the book, right? Because the more you read God's word, the more you see his heart, the more you see his desire to bless you. Look at verse 15 before we leave Psalm 34. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. So verse 15 said, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. So God sees, right? His ears are open to their cry. He listens. He hears, right? Verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and does what? Delivers them. See, God watches, listens, hears, and delivers. Now, is that something you didn't know yesterday? Well, see, that's why God's word is so amazing. It says in Psalm 138, you have to turn there, but it says that God magnified his word above all his name. In other words, God's word is huge to God, and he authored it for a reason. He authored it so you would know his heart. You know, if you had children or if you met someone for the first time, you'd want them to know who you are, right? How would you tell them about yourself? We'd say, I'm trying to do this, I'm this, I'm that. That's what God does in his Bible. God in the Bible tells us about his heart for us. He tells us how much he cares about us, what he wants for us. And that's an amazing thing. The more you read, where do you find it? Yes, you heard it in the Bible. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, another great section of the Bible. And hopefully we can finish it before the end of the show. If not, we'll come back next week and finish it, but we'll try to finish it today if we can. Romans 8 is a fabulous chapter, all kinds of good things in here. Let's look at verse 15. And again, this whole chapter is amazing, but look at verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word, and basically it means daddy. It's a very endearing term. But with that spirit we have within us, we can talk to God not just as some mystical being somewhere out in space, but he's our father. He's our spiritual dad. And he loves us that much. We saw about in 1 John, right? He wanted to show us how much he loved us. So what did he do? He made us his kids, right? I mean, think about that. God could have said, look, I love you. I'll give you $10 a week, right? Or I love you. I'll get you all the clothespins you need to hang your clothes outside. Because I'm dating myself with that one, I know. I guess we don't use clothespins anymore. But we did back in the day. Some of you remember. Or am I the only one? Maybe that. But God could have said, hey, I love you so much, I'll give you pizza every day for lunch. I love you so much, I'll give you a salad, you know, whatever. But God says, look, I'm going to make you my children. And when God makes us his children, what he's saying is, I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to do this for you. Whenever you need me, I'll be here. I will hear your prayer. I will answer when you pray to me. And that's amazing if you think about it, right? Okay, back in Romans. We better get cracking here. Romans chapter 8 again. Let's jump down to verse 28, please. Verse 28. This is just a great section about God's heart to his people. Verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. See, God knows his people. God knows his children. He knows your name. He knows everything about you, right? It's like I've told my kids, God knows everything about me and he still loves me, which is a pretty remarkable example of his love anyway, right? Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, the son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So look what God's saying here. His goal for us Christians is to walk like Jesus Christ. He wants Jesus Christ to be the one, and then we get like him, right? We change ourselves to be like Jesus Christ, which of course ties back to the title of our show, right? Follow his sandals. That's our goal. We want to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to live like he did. See, that's the key. We want to follow his sandals and do what he did. That was God's will for us. Whom God foreknew, again, verse 29, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, the son, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yeah. Moreover, this is talking about us now. This is talking about us. Moreover, whom he predestined, them he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And with whom he justified, these he also glorified. This is talking about you. This is what God thinks about you. And again, you wouldn't know this unless what? You listen to the radio station or somebody, you read the Bible yourself. And that's why I'm a big believer in reading the Bible. I think our pastors do an amazing job, obviously, but they've got you for an hour or two a week. They don't have you 7 days a week, 4 or 5 hours a day. But you know what? You have your Bible every day. Or if you don't have one, you can get one. Especially now where they have them online, you can do all kinds of great stuff, right? But God is that big. Verse 30 again says, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Talking about you. Verse 31, look at this great question. What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? And that's rhetorical. The answer is obvious. Nobody. If God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Sorry, nobody. Nobody can be against you because you're God's kid, and God loves you and protects you and works and watches out for you. But it's important to see God's heart here. Why is God saying it this way? What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Look at verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, that's God, right, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Yeah. I mean, if God let his son Jesus die and get raised from the dead just for you, if God loved you that much to give Jesus for you, you think the rent's going to be a problem? No. I mean, God loves you. His love for you is so big and so important and so all-encompassing. He is there for you whenever you need him. And that's his heart. That's what he's trying to get communicate here in this section in Romans 8. Then look at verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Yeah, is God going to condemn you now that he's already justified you? No. Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and further is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who, look at this, who also makes intercession for us. Did you know that Jesus Christ prays for you? Yeah, it says here right in the scripture. Christ died, further was risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Isn't that amazing? Right? And then look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And the answer is in verse 37. Yet in all these things we're what? More than conquerors through him who loved us. What are we? More than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, and some texts will actually have no. It'll say nay, and all these things we're more than conquerors. I think the original King James says that. It answers the question, who shall separate us? Shall any of these separate us? And the answer is no. Verse 37, all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Then look at 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If nothing can separate you from the love of God, then guess what? You can't be separated from the love of God. In other words, God loves you. He's not going to stop. Well, I don't want him to love me. Well, that may be the case. Foolish decision, but it may be the case. But you know what? You can't get God to stop loving you. He is love, and it's what he does, and you're his kid, and God wants you to understand that. That's why verse 38 says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you see, the Bible is replete with these kinds of truths from the Word that just tell us how great God feels about you, how much he loves you, how much he's there by your side whenever you need him to be. Look at Psalm 23. Psalm 23. This one's not in the notes, so it's extra. It's free. I promise you. Psalm 23. It's a famous psalm, right? Psalm 23. And I think many times we don't realize just how great it is. The people talk about it like, oh, it's at funerals and things. Well, that may or may not be the case, but look at Psalm 23. It's really a gorgeous truth. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. This is not talking about a traumatic situation, right? What this is talking about is God always being there for you, right? And he cares about you. He makes to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. That's how God wants to be with you. He wants to restore your soul and be there for you whenever you need him. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's why we always get the funerals and these kind of things, right? Look down at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see that word follow? It doesn't mean follow like I'm just kind of casual along following here. It means to pursue. See, goodness, God's goodness and mercy will pursue you all the days of your life. Why? Because he loves you. That's why. All right. And it's important that we remember just how much God feels about you so that you're always there when you need him to be there for you. He will always be there. See? All right, last place, Psalm 103. You can't do it. Okay. Psalm 103. Last one here. We won't get the whole thing, but just a couple of verses I wanted to share with you. Psalm 103. Look at verse 1. And this is a famous psalm, too, actually, for Bible scholars, right? It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and look at this, forget not all his benefits. What if you had to remember them all? What if you had to remember every single thing that God did for you? Right? How would that be? That'd be difficult, right? Look what it says. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Look at this. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. See how cool God is here? Look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. This is our God. This is what we want to learn about from his God's word. This is Reverend Dave Boston. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in next Friday at 4 p.m. as we continue to follow the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at homebible220@yahoo.com. Have a blessed week.